We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses to help? Little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that you have loved us through your Son, Jesus. And we pray that as we hear your word this morning, your Spirit would work in our hearts so we would go out and love others. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All you need is love. So sung the Beatles. And they were right, you know. All we do need is love. If only we were able to give and receive the right kind of love at the right time, every time. Love is all we need. In the language of the New Testament, the common Greek of the day, there were four words used for love, and each of those words expressed a different kind of love. There was a word for family love, storge, which was the kind of love you show to your mum or dad or to your brother or sister. Then there was a word for social love, philia. And that's the love that you would give to your friends or those in your social circle. Then, of course, there was sexual love, eros, love between husband and wife or boyfriend and girlfriend. And then, of course, agape. And now agape was sacrificial, practical, generous kind of love. But it was more than that even, because those first three things could be that as well. But agape was unique in that it was the word used to describe the love that God has for us. And if you think about those first three kinds of love, they have at least one thing in common. And in a way, they're easy love. You look at who they're directed to. To family, to friends, to lovers. People we already have a relationship with, or people that we want to have a relationship with. And in a sense, that kind of love comes naturally to us. Who wouldn't want to make sacrifices for their kids? Who wouldn't help out a friend? Who wouldn't give a bunch of roses to a new girlfriend? In a way, it's easy love, easy to give. And this is where agape is different, because agape is sacrificial, practical, generous, but not just to the people that we know, not just to the people that we want to have a relationship with, not just to the people that we like, but to those that we may not like, to those we have nothing in common with, to those who take us beyond ourselves, out of our comfort zones. And that's what agape does. It makes us vulnerable to rejection, to failure, even to abuse. And all for the sake of someone who may not even appreciate that love. He may not even acknowledge it. He may not even want it. That's agape. And when I've preached on this sort of love before, I know I've said that love is not a warm, fuzzy feeling. Love is an action. It's not a noun, it's a verb, a doing word. And so that's why Jesus can command his followers to go and love, to go and do. But that doesn't mean that love is devoid of all feelings, that this agape has no emotions attached to it at all. As if we just go and do because we are commanded, it's cold. In fact, it's quite the opposite. And as I read this text from 1 John again, it reminded me that actually this agape love is the most passionate, emotive kind of love that there is. And so we read in 1 John 3:17 where it says, if someone has worldly goods and sees another person in need but shuts their heart off, shuts down their emotions from that person, how can God's love still be in that person? So there's three things in that verse that we take note of. First is that we recognize a need. Second, that need triggers an emotional response in us. We feel for the person. And that emotional response then, that passion or compassion, stirs in us love into action. It's not a cold response from a command of God. And so verse 18 says, let us then love not just with words and speech, but in truth and action. Truth and action. Which seems like an odd combination until you think about how tricky it is to give this kind of agape love. Because love is more than just words. Love is more than just actions. Love is more than just words and actions together. So let us love in truth and action. Well, how do we do that? Well, one afternoon, a wealthy lawyer was riding along in his shiny limo, and he looked out the window and he saw two men on the side of the road eating grass. He was a bit disturbed by this, so he ordered his driver to stop and he went to investigate. And he asked one of them, why are you eating grass? And the man said, well, we can't afford to buy food. We have to eat grass. And the lawyer was a bit shocked and he said, well, why don't you come along to my place and I'll feed you? And the man said, but sir, I've got a wife and two kids over there under the tree. And the lawyer said, no, bring them along. And he turned to the other man and he said, yeah, you come too. And the man said, sir, I've got a wife and six kids. And the lawyer said, no, no, bring them along. So they all piled into this limo and off they went. And as they were going along, one of the men turned to the lawyer and he said, sir, you're too kind, taking all of us. Thank you. And the lawyer was really touched and he said, no, look, that's okay, I'm glad to do it. You'll love my place. The grass is this high. So you can see how that lawyer loved by his words. He loved by his actions. But what was the truth? The truth was he wasn't really interested in those people or their needs. He was only interested in getting his lawn cut. And that's how it is often with our love. The love that we give others, especially the ones that we don't feel like loving. We give begrudgingly, selfishly, conditionally, expecting something in return, and if we don't get it, then we grumble. But that's not the kind of love that Jesus calls us to give. He calls us to give agape. Love which doesn't think about self, but just thinks about the needs of others, whatever they may be. And that kind of love, or the absence of it, actually acts as a kind of barometer for our spiritual health, a kind of objective test to see where we are in our faith journey. And so the Bible links these three things, faith, love, and obedience. And they belong together. We can't separate those three. Faith, love, and obedience. And so if you remember the story of the man who comes up to Jesus and asks him what the greatest commandment is, and Jesus replies, what does Jesus say? Do you remember? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. So in that sentence, he sums up all of God's commandments into this one. And so in 1 John, we read a paraphrase of that, which says, this is God's command. Believe in his Son, Jesus Christ, and love your neighbor. Love one another. The two things go together. Really three things if you include the command itself. So you have faith. Believe in Jesus. Faith that's directed to God. You have love, which is directed to people in need. And you have obedience, which is the fulfillment of faith and love together. Faith, love, and obedience. The three go together as a spiritual barometer for our lives. So how is your spiritual health? You can't go to a doctor for a checkup for that. But you can do this simple test. Are you loving others as God has commanded you to love them? No one else can do that checkup for you. Only you can do it, between you and God. But your conscience will tell you whether you are or not. And what happens if your conscience, like mine, tells me that I don't always love sacrificially or generously? What happens then? Well, there's really only one thing that we can do in that situation. And that's to turn to the one who can and does love in that way. Turn to the one who has loved us in that way. Turn to the one who has shown what that kind of love means. Turn to Jesus. Turn to Jesus and ask him for his love, for his agape. Because his love isn't conditional. It's not conditional on what we have or haven't done. His love is given even when we aren't good enough, when we don't deserve it, when we haven't earned it. The Beatles were right. All we need is love. Jesus' love. Because it's his love that inspires us to love. It's his love that enables us to love, and it's his love that equips us to love. His love is all we need. Amen. And the peace and the love of our Lord Jesus, which passes all our human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.